This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We are continuing our coronavirus coverage today. Later in the hour, we'll take your calls, first with Steve Poftak, head of the MBTA, and then our daily panel of local health experts. First, Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins is working to release inmates who are at risk for coronavirus and a low risk to public safety in an effort to avoid the spread of the virus inside incarceration. She joins us now on the line. Welcome back, DA Rollins.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am well and trying to stay safe and healthy.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Let me ask you about this. Who are you trying to release and why, DA Rollins?
So I want to start with a larger understanding that once COVID-19, it became clear it's a pandemic and how we need to not yet shelter in place, all of us, but be really aware of social distancing. I started thinking about all the different vulnerable populations that were going to be impacted by that, whether it was our elderly community, whether it was possibly victims of violence, domestic violence and other types of violence and terror, whether it was our young children who sometimes go to school and that's the only safe place they have. Many of the reports of child abuse come from mandated reporters, school nurses, teachers, and that's all being removed. But I recognized as well that you don't stop being elderly if you're incarcerated, right? You don't stop being somebody's mother or father or brother or sister or partner if you're incarcerated. And we have a lot of those same populations behind the wall. So I wanted to make sure that individuals, certainly pre-trial, that are being held prior to them being found guilty of anything at all, that we need to be really aware of the fact that we're taking away their liberty and they're being sent to a place where they can't even comply with some of the basic requirements, the 6-foot distancing, the washing of the hands and keeping very sanitary. Many of our prisons and jails don't have hand sanitizer and soap. We just need to think about this as a public health issue, always weighing against the balance of my number one priority, which is keeping our community safe.
So that really flips the script on the perception of who is vulnerable in this moment. What do you say to critics who say, wait, that puts the general public at risk, and as you say, that should be your top priority? What do you say to that?
Well, that's assuming that everyone incarcerated is already contaminated, and that's not true. What I think we need to do is recognize that
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to clarify that. I think my question is other types of risks of future recidivism or committing other crimes, et cetera.
Right. But I think let's focus on our pretrial detainees. Those individuals have not been found guilty of anything yet. So I think many of your listeners that haven't gone to law school need to understand that a major tenet of what we stand for in the criminal justice system, or should, is you are innocent until proven guilty. But every single day in court, and I am the DA, and I, you know, can speak very clearly about this, every single day in court, bails are requested. And if you, Tiziana, have the money to pay that bail, you get out. And if I don't, I get sent to Nashua Street. And that is a socioeconomic impact on the poor, right? Irrespective of what their race is or other things. And if you are not violent or a threat to our society, but you simply can't pay your bail, I think it's too extreme a collateral consequence that we're sending you to a place where, by its definition, you are going to be in groups and you are going to be closer than 6 feet to people. And you are also not going to have hand sanitizer, soap, or the access to care that you might need.
And is this exclusively pretrial inmates? Is that who you're focusing on with this?
I think a lot of the requests that we're getting from the criminal defense bar, Tiziana, are with respect to the pretrial detainees. But there are also, we have a really significant aging population in that is incarcerated. So this is post-trial convictions, individuals that are close to finishing out their sentences, but might have some compromised, not COVID-19, but some health issues. That's a different sort of standard in analysis. There's a lot of requests for sort of compassionate release. That's the the lingo that people would use and understand is, if I'm 6 months away from getting out and serving a sentence that I had for, let's say, a five-year sentence that I received, and I am a person who's over 60, no COVID-19 yet, but, you know, have gotten in no trouble behind the wall, but my family is arguing, please let him out of there or her out of there, because, you know, if there's one person that contracts this, let's say at Sousa Baranowski or at Suffolk County House of Corrections, Nashua Street, it's almost going to be rapid fire that other people are contaminated.
I'm sorry to interrupt you here. We have so much to get to, and I do want to ask you, do you know how many inmates you're talking about and what kind of tracking, if any, you'd be doing once that number of inmates is released under this program?
Well, the mechanism by which they're released, Tiziana, is a defense counsel has to come forward and ask us. We are working with them every day to see if we can come up with lists of people that maybe there are assented to groups, and then there might be groups of individuals that we would contest their release. But, of course, their defense counsel has the ability to argue, no, we believe this should happen. So we're grouping individuals and groups of individuals. And what we're going to do is we're going to then try to work with the trial court, because ultimately, Tiziana, this is a judge's decision about whether people are released.
And
the
so to that end, D.A. Rollins, I do want to, I'm sorry again, I know I'm kind of interrupting a lot, but we have limited time. How does this affect then future arrests as well, based on how you've just explained to me the system works? Would this be open to defense attorneys of future arrests as well?
Well, so yes. Right now, we're excited to see across the country that members of law enforcement, for example, in Philadelphia, are saying that they're moving to a summons only with respect to nonviolent, non-serious crimes. So that means rather than arresting people, they're going to be issuing summons, and they're only going to be arresting individuals for serious violent crimes. That is not a free, you know, will allowance of crime. It's just saying that right now with our court systems closed, you will be held accountable. It just will be later.
Suffolk Attorney, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I appreciate you joining us, Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins. I hope you will come back to talk with us more about this in the future.
Of course.
Thanks. I appreciate your time today.